Today, we will hear from the book of Proverbs, encouraging our continued faith in God and reminding us how to find true refreshment in our souls. With open hearts and minds, let us receive God's wisdom. My child, do not forget my teachings, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life, and abundant welfare they will give you. Do not let loyalty and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will find favor and high regard in the sight of God and of people. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge God, and God will make your straight paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be a healing for your flesh and a refreshment for your body. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God in Spirit, for the word of God among us.
So every year, the confirmation process is a little bit different from the ways that we try to adapt the curriculum to meet the needs of the current cohort of students, to the individual perspectives, questions, and experiences that the students and teachers and mentors contribute. Across the years, however, there are nevertheless some constants. We explore who God is to us and look deeper at all the ways God is depicted in the Bible, from a mother hen to a pillar of fire. Who knew? We ponder who Jesus is to us and meditate on what it might be like were Jesus to show up in our neighborhood next week. We learn about the Holy Spirit. We explore our sacred texts. We try on different spiritual practices for size and talk about the covenant of church membership. We ponder big questions like, did God create a multiverse? Where does church authority lie in the modern world? If God is loving, why do bad things happen? And where does God's name come from? We reflect back on our life in the church and our faith throughout different stages of our lives and lift up significant moments, changes, and milestones in that journey. Now, traditionally, we taught students that confirmation was solely about affirming your baptism in the Christian faith and claiming the identity of Christian for yourself. At its core, however, confirmation is less about claiming specific religious belief than it is about claiming our beliefs as our own. Being confirmed means entering into full covenant with the United Parish in Brookline, and confers all of the privileges and responsibilities of full church membership, being able to vote at all parish meetings, serve on council or the endowment team, being expected to offer your time, talent, and treasure to the community. Now, in 2 weeks' time, you'll hear our adult new members enter into covenant with this community, and you'll notice that the covenant to join, that liturgy, doesn't require an explicit profession of faith or assent to doctrine. Now, some churches might do it differently, but here at United Parish, we don't require tests of faith for church membership. And so we wondered then, why should we have a higher bar for youth who are joining the church than for adults? When people join United Parish, we often hear two core reasons why. Either they were looking for a spiritual home to grow and explore and express their Christian faith, or they were looking for a community of affirming, courageous, open-minded individuals who seek to do good in the world, or both. And so this year, we have expanded our confirmation process to where we believe the Holy Spirit has been all along, patiently holding a big neon sign waiting for us to catch up. This year, we've offered our students the option to be confirmed and officially join the church in one of two ways, either through profession of the Christian faith, claiming the Christian identity and affirming their baptism, or by affirmation of community, declaring their belief in the power of community and affirming their desire to fully take part in the life of this United Parish community. In progressive Christianity, we emphasize the importance of an examined faith, Many of us have seen firsthand the harm that unquestioning adoption of any doctrine can enact. To have examined our faith and arrived at the conclusion that the label of Christian doesn't feel authentic to our identity at this moment in time, and to make that known amidst a Christian community that has held us since birth, is both a profound statement on the safety, acceptance, and love that we feel within that community. And it's the mark of a courageous and faith-filled journey that prioritized growth, understanding, and authenticity over any sense of expectations, traditions, or going with the flow. Now, students are also, as always, given the choice not to be confirmed or to defer their confirmation to a later year. And they are affirmed and we celebrate the journeys that do not, to affirm and celebrate the journeys that do not ultimately lead to confirmation adds weight and import to the journeys that do. Because in so doing, we affirm that confirmation is a choice freely made, the farthest thing from an expected formality that simply marks the conclusion of confirmation class. Now, inasmuch as our students who do choose to get confirmed are reminded that this is not a binding decision, that their identities are theirs to grow and evolve and change as their faith journeys continue onwards, our students who choose not to get confirmed know that their faith journeys haven't stopped here, and that their identities will also grow and evolve and shift. The rite of confirmation affirms a full, recognized maturity of faith within the established structure of this institution. And mature faith, however, doesn't necessarily mean static or specific. Looking back over the last 5 years, who here can say that they believe the exact same things now that they did back in 2019? If you look around, you'll notice not a single hand is raised. The faith exploration that is central to the confirmation process also leads up to the drafting of a faith statement. This process is less about the final product or what specifically is articulated in those statements, and more about the process of putting it together in the first place. It can be surprisingly difficult to put our own faith into words, let alone complete coherent sentences. I'm curious how many of those here have written your own custom faith statement before. How many have done it within the last 5 years? How many of you would be willing to present it from the pulpit to the congregation next week? I mean, if so, let me know and we can sign you up to deliver one of our summer homilies. The confirmation process is about setting aside time to intentionally explore where our faith journeys have led us thus far, and to practice articulating our faith in a way that is authentic and unapologetic. Our congregation deeply appreciates hearing and learning from our confirmation students' faith statements, and yet we too know that their true value lies in all of the questioning, pondering, and growing that has led up to it. And I want to let those of you viewing at home that for some of these faith statements, out of respect for our students' privacy, we will be cutting the video feed. Don't worry, nothing is wrong technologically. And then the video feed will resume once the faith statements are done. So without further ado, I introduce our confirmation students who are reading their statements of faith today. Coda?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Coda, and I've been part of this church basically since I was born. I've grown up in and around this church, going just about every Sunday. The church has always been a supportive and consistent pillar in my life. No matter what, I always know that if something were to go wrong, or if I or anyone else in my family needed help, I could ask and find exactly what I needed here. However, while I completely love and appreciate the people here, I don't think I've ever fully believed in God. I vividly remember a time, I think I was 7 or 8, and I asked my dad if he believed in God. He was typing on his laptop, and I was sitting on the bed. At that point, I kind of had my doubts about the idea of a physical God, but my dad was the first person I ever heard say he didn't believe in him, and I was shocked. At the time, I didn't really think that we all truly believed in the classical narrative, but I didn't know we could say it. It seemed to me like it was just a big secret we all kept up for those who did believe. Since then, I've definitely realized that believing in God doesn't have to mean believing in a physical God, but at the time, it was all or nothing for me. Unfortunately, I think there's been a rift between religion and myself ever since I realized I was queer. I heard so many horror stories about queer people being shunned and oppressed by bad people who weaponized the Bible. And even though the church has always been there to support me, I originally had a very hard time opening up to Christianity as a whole. Nowadays, I think I've mostly gotten past that, and although I currently don't have a faith, I feel open to exploring religion when I'm ready. For now, I am glad to fully embrace this beautiful community.